ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is Grandstand at Lunch. A few of the Have-A-Go kids are out there having a little bit of a hit on the outfield. And I'm very pleased to say the former Premier of New South Wales and the current Chair of Cricket Australia, Mike Baird, joins me on Grandstand at Lunch. Mike, appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure.
Happy New Year, firstly. Has the New Year festivities been in the Baird household?
Well, the Baird household's active these days. We've now got a grandson, and exhausting when you're sort of raising your own children, but even more so now, but delightful. So we've had a fantastic Christmas and New Year, and we're looking forward to it.
It's the end of the line in many ways. The Sydney Test match, the last test of the summer, the Ashes, comes to a close. The urn's been retained. Has it been a successful series, though, with everything baked into it from a Cricket Australia standpoint?
Look, I think it's been outstanding. So if you look at the facts of the summer, record attendance, record viewership, and in terms of grassroots cricket, record participation. So cricket's in great health. This series, it's taken its twists and turns, but I think everyone's been enthralled, and obviously winning the Ashes is the highlight of any cricketer's dream and any cricket supporter's.
Only 13 of a possible 20 days, though. So as much as I'm sure you'd love to win, there is obviously the economics that come into it and the fact that there's a lot of money that's been left on the table. How significant has that hit been to the organisation?
Look, I mean, of course, yeah. I mean, when you have a full stadium ready to go, I mean, that's what you want to do, not just financially, but it's for the fans. I mean, you know, the fans are desperate to come and watch cricket. They plan their holidays and summers around it. So, yeah, I mean, obviously that's disappointing, but, you know, cricket's a game and you obviously can't control anything and everything. So from our point of view, yes, you know, we would love more days, but I think every single person I speak to, you know, has loved it. You know, they've loved the contest, they've loved the opportunities to watch those that have. So I think it's been an outstanding summer.
I'm sure the numbers are constantly moving and it'd be hard to judge that until obviously it's all said and done and you get a chance to look through the books. But where is that felt? As much as we say, oh, Cricket Australia have missed out on millions of dollars because of these short test match, where does that actually impact the game in terms of, you know, a shortfall when it comes to the revenue?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously this is a significant summer for us. It's the summer where we do earn the most in terms of any cycle. So it's a cycle. You obviously play the big countries in terms of England and India. We have an obligation to play other countries and we want to grow Test cricket, so that is a big feature. But obviously the financials in those summers aren't as much as these. So, you know, it's important to maximise. But, you know, in context, I mean, you've heard the numbers of about $10 million. But, you know, we're going to have $560-570 million in revenue, and likely the record revenue amount for Cricket Australia ever. So it's still in great health. And certainly as we look at it, the game's in great shape to continue to grow.
The obvious thing that people are talking about off-field at the moment is clearly the potential sale of the BBL teams. And you roll those two things together, you know, some missed revenue here for the short series, the potential sale of the BBL franchises. Do the two come together? Does one sort of expedite the other in terms of, you know, it's more important to privatise the BBL now given the missed revenue opportunity in this Ashes series?
No, and I've seen some commentary on that. That's actually not the fundamental driver here. The fundamental driver is an opportunity for our league to compete with all the best leagues in the world. And if we're not participating in franchise cricket, well, there's likely to be challenges long-term. So that's what we're weighing up. It's both the opportunity to compete and attract the best players into our league, and we're seeing salaries go up across the world in other leagues. So how do you sort of fund that to remain competitive? You know, how can we be part of the ecosystem of franchise cricket? If we stand alone, how do we do that? So growing the game is what the overall driver is, and to have the best possible league, you know, commercially, and bringing some of the best minds. So if we do look for private investors to come in, well, private investors understand through their global sport participation, you know, how do you drive fandom? How do you look after fans, give better fan experience? How do you attract more players? How do you use sort of digital opportunities? All of those opportunities would lift the league. And, you know, that's obviously what we're all considering. Australian cricket is considering that, obviously CA alongside the states. But, you know, the strategic opportunity is huge. And it's not, yes, there's a financial element to it, but that's not the sole driver.
Todd Greenberg told us last week that you're looking to make a decision either one way or the other, either, you know, put it on the back burner for now, the sale of the BBL teams, or put them up for tender, or at least start that process by the end of the first quarter of 2026. But when you think about the states, I mean, there's six of them barely get along with each other, let alone with the governing body. It feels like there's a lot to be worked through. Is that timeline realistic that you feel like you can get some kind of an agreement among the, you know, the seven key parties, the six states and the governing body by, you know, the end of March?
Well, maybe we should get them together early, you know, just a bit of Christmas cheer can sort of flow through. No, look, it's actually, I think it's the best I've seen it, you know, in terms of my involvement in cricket. It's the best I've seen the states and the CA kind of work together. And yes, there's been differences of opinion, there's been robust discussion, so there should be for something so significant and big. This is potentially going to change cricket for a generation, so you want to make the right moves, you know, either if you do or if you don't. And, you know, that's what we're wrestling. So certainly I'm very positive about the way the discussions have been held. And yeah, we also can't keep talking forever, so we need to get to a position once everyone's had an understanding of all the facts, looked at all the information, and then make a decision. So by the end of the March we'll do that.
Is it going to be a back and forth process, or is it simply going to be Cricket Australia will get it together, say, hey, this is the proposal, vote yes or no?
Well, we'll do that collectively. I mean, as we've done, I mean, every single issue is part of this. And, you know, obviously things like maintaining the primacy of Test cricket. You know, I can assure you that Test cricket will remain front and centre to the Australian summer for a generation. So there are protections that we would have to put around that. That's just one example of the things that we'll be wrestling with. So for us, it really is a chance for everyone to have their say, and then we'll hopefully come to a collective decision one way or the other.
The chairman of Cricket Australia, Mike Baird, with me on Grandstand Cricket on ABC Sport during the lunch break on day one of the fifth test in Sydney. Usman Khawaja announced his retirement, obviously 2 days before the start of the Sydney test. He's top 15 run scorer all time. He spoke for 43 minutes. He gave an in-depth press conference. He's clearly a trailblazer in Australian cricket. First Islamic player to represent the nation and obviously first born in Pakistan. When you listened to his press conference and everything he had to say, what did you hear?
Look, I mean, I think Uzi is someone who, I mean, first and foremost, has been a role model for many and an outstanding test player. I mean, his numbers don't lie. They're an incredible contribution in terms of performance. But he's also been a leader that's contributed off-field. And I think we've got to acknowledge that he is a fantastic ambassador for the game and for those issues that he's interested in and passionate about and obviously deeply personal to him. So, you know, from our point of view, we are very, very fortunate to have had someone like Uzi participate with us. You know, he's got a very personal story and has got every right to talk through his story as he has. But, you know, we'll always embrace Uzi as someone who has done an incredible, not just job on the field, but off the field. I mean, kids looking for role models. I think he's been a fantastic role model as well.
He pointed a light at the media. He also obviously pointed a light into, you know, Cricket Australia systems and the way that he feels like he's been treated over the years. He made a comment referring to the fact that, look, his name's not John Smith, alluding to the fact that, you know, the 50-50 calls haven't always gone his way. There are more and more players of South Asian heritage, obviously, in and around Australian cricket. Are you confident as the chairman of the organisation that, you know, their experiences are going to be consistent with the broader population?
Yeah, well, Uzi's experience is real. So he's just talking about what he felt and, you know, from when he started, you know, all the way through to the end. So we have to respect that. I think that what we've seen, and having a role model such as him, the participation numbers from the Southeast Asian community in particular, the last 12 months or the 12 months before was about 38% higher. So we're seeing that community broadly and wide come into play cricket, and in no small part due to role models such as Uzi. So, you know, we're indebted to that, but we also have to ask ourselves hard questions. And, you know, as a cricket community, cricket is a game for all. Everyone should feel welcome. Everyone should feel that wherever they play cricket, they are part of that family, part of that community. So certainly, you know, we have to ask ourselves that. But certainly what I've seen is an ongoing improvement, and I think the numbers show that.
How do you feel like the game's covered, the treatment that I guess the current players get from the press, from the fifth estate?
Well, look, you know, as a former politician, you know, I sort of understand that the media has an important role. And, you know, there were times that I didn't necessarily agree with the coverage that I or the government was getting at times, but that's just part of it. So I certainly think that we should respect the media. They take the game far and wide to enable people to understand and see and listen to it. So we should respect them, but certainly, you know, wouldn't be the first time that someone was unhappy with coverage, and certainly at a political level, that seemed like a daily experience.
Yes. Mike Baird, the chairman of Cricket Australia, with me on ABC Sport during the lunch break, day one of the fifth test in Sydney. This team is going to need to regenerate in the not-too-distant future, and obviously Khawaja exits the game here. Whose responsibility is that? Is that the selectors? Is it the senior coach? Is it the head of cricket? Whose job is it to make sure that this team regenerates?
Well, it's a big, and I think that's an exciting time for cricket, actually. And what we should be doing is acknowledging the high performance and the leadership that we're seeing in the management of the Australian cricket team, men's and women's. There is undoubtedly planning that goes into such transitions. And if you look at Australian cricket now, there's actually an exciting group of young talent coming through. And, you know, a big part of the chat that I have with a whole range of friends is, well, you know, what does this team look like in 5 years? And there's, you know, you can start to see an incredibly strong team in terms of the men's team. So it's up to the leadership and the high performance team to manage that. We're very comfortable in what they've done, and you know, I think look at this series. I mean, in terms of selection, you know, everyone's got a view. It's one of those things. Everyone's got a view on who should be in the team and who should not be in the team. But I think the selectors and the management of the team have done a first-class job, actually, in putting the best teams on the park and, you know, delivering the results to match that. And I think they're doing the same in terms of the long term. So I love it when new generations come through. And even in the Big Bash now, you are seeing the young aspirants starting to perform on the highest stage, and it's always an exciting time.
I live in an apartment, so I don't prepare any kind of lawn. I don't have any sort of horticultural experience, but I've never found myself in cricket media talking so much about mills of grass and everything else that we've been doing this year, and obviously the two-day test matches. What do you make of that? Do you think Cricket Australia should have more say over what kind of surface is prepared? I mean, at the moment, it feels very much it's in the hands of the venues themselves. Is it something that the governing body should say, hey, come on, guys, we need a pitch that's going to at least take this into a day, you know, 3, 4, 5?
Look, well, I mean, I think on the first point, I mean, the kind of world's gone mad, because I've had a call from my sister, and my sister is a late convert to cricket, but she's become very passionate. She's watching all the documentaries. She's sort of updating me and texting me. She's become this crazy cricket tragic, which is great. It's a great development. But she called me and wanted to know about the level of grass on this pitch. I mean, it's a conversation I never thought I would have. Yes. And she asked if there was any thatch there, for heaven's sake. So it's a lot of people talk about cricket in ways they haven't before. And look, I think there are fantastic curators across the country, and you know, we owe a lot to them. And indeed, around the world, they will come to Australia and look to Australia for our expertise in delivering pitches. By and large, they deliver fantastic pitches, and you know, credit to Matt Page down in Victoria. I mean, what an incredible thing for a leader to come out and say, actually, we got that wrong. You know, there's learnings from that, because he had produced some fantastic pitches. And the one last year with the Indus series was just spectacular, as you saw. So I think we in almost every situation, we deliver good pitches. But, you know, we also want to learn. And if there's any way that we can help, I think Todd has spoken about this, is there a way that we can kind of help bring the best expertise to those that are doing a job? Well, we're open to it. But fundamentally, I think we're very happy with what curators do across the country. And, you know, we're viewed as the best in the world.
Mike Baird, the chair of Cricket Australia. The SCG test match, 6 of the last 11 have ended in draws. Obviously, they've been weather affected. You are the former premier in this state as well, so I've got to be careful with this question. But has it ever come across your desk or ever been floated that maybe this test could go in a different window to try and avoid the atmospheric conditions that seem to bob up this time of year?
Well, no. I when we signed up for 7 years to have the New Year's test here, the premier, Chris Minns, at the time, guaranteed that it wouldn't rain for the next 7 years. So that's great. I mean, that was he acknowledged that. So I look forward to there being no rain. Look, I think the New Year's Test is part of the fabric of the country. Just as much as Boxing Day is Melbourne, the New Year's Test in Sydney, I mean, it's an institution. And, you know, those of us in Sydney would look at it and know that. But it's across the country and across the world. You know, everyone looks at the New Year's Test in Sydney. So, you know, that's remaining, and, you know, we look forward. I mean, we can ask the Premier if it rains, but I'm pretty sure he's got that coming.
Political one to finish. The Bondi attacks recently, I mean, Cricket Australia have been outstanding in the tributes and the response the best you can do in obviously awful circumstances. We saw the first responders even here at the SCG test, obviously a tribute and acknowledged before the start of play. There is a group of former athletes, I'm not sure if this has come across your desk, that essentially getting together to try and throw their support behind a Royal Commission into anti-Semitism in this country. As a former politician, as the head of a major sporting organisation in Cricket Australia, do you have a view on what should happen on that front?
Look, I mean, I think we should do anything. I mean, anything we possibly can to stop anti-Semitism has to be done. So I, as a friend of the Jewish community, my heart breaks, you know, on a very deep and personal level. In my time as Premier, I actually went to Yad Vashem, and your life's not the same. Your life's just not the same having done that. And I cannot imagine how, well, I've got a small understanding of how the community feels. So we should do anything and everything we can to support them. And obviously the tribute today, you know, it showed. I think the city and the country, well, how do we tell the Jewish community that we're supporting them, we're by your side, and, you know, that you're a big part of Australia and you shouldn't feel unsafe. You should feel welcomed. And, you know, with speaking to the Jewish leaders after that tribute, I mean, thanking those heroes that put their lives on the line and helped in so many different ways on that dreadful, dreadful day, I think that was a good thing. So unity is important at this time, and you know, the Jewish community should have that deep sense that governments are doing everything they can to help them.
And that includes a Royal Commission?
Well, that's obviously a matter for the Prime Minister. That's a matter for the federal government. Certainly, you know, from my point of view, I think that's something that should be done. But, you know, I understand that it's complicated, and I understand that there's all types of issues. But certainly from my point of view, if that's what the Jewish community wants, and looking at the complexity of the issues, I think that's something that should be done.
It's as dark a day we've had in our lifetime and in awful circumstances. Congratulations to you and the organisation on how you've responded and handled that. And thanks for your company throughout the series as well. I mean, the organisation and yourself as well, Mike, have been so generous with your time with us here on the ABC. So really appreciate your time again today, and good luck the rest of the way. Can't wait to do it all again next summer.
Anytime, Corbin. It's been a pleasure. We'll see you next summer.